have a seat. Daniel chapter 3. Man, what a privilege it is to work here, to be a part of what God is doing. Thank you so much. I told the CB grads, I'd give you a shout out. Love you guys. So appreciate you. Personal finance class. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for making your way out. I know many of you drove a distance to be here this morning. And, just kidding. I'm glad that you're here. And I know that today is your Monday. And let me just say this. Get over it. It's Tuesday. It's not Monday. It's Tuesday. We don't have that luxury here. So I'm glad that you're here. And if it were all about me, I'd be disappointed. I heard that. Yay. So with that being said, I know that many of you've been laboring, you've been working, but it's Tuesday, and we've got to get our head back in the game. There's a world that's lost, and they need you, and we can't sleep. Brother Gomez, I want to thank you for that message that we heard last week. I saw him back there. What a blessing that was. So I just wanted to express that. All right. Well, Daniel chapter number 3, Daniel 3, and I've had this sermon, at least these thoughts in my mind, but I've never put it into to print, and I'm praying that the Lord would help it to be of a benefit to you. What a privilege it is to be here in this place and to work with some of the finest people in all the world and the finest students in all the world. You're a great group, and I love teaching, I love being a part of this. Love our pastor, and you please be praying for him, that God would strengthen him. And let me encourage you with this thing of prayer meeting. You might be saying in your heart, you know, I don't have any real needs. You will. And you may be dating right now, and that may be the one for you. It may not be the one for you. And you ought to constantly be praying and asking God, Lord, what would you have for me? Don't wait until the very end in your last year of college before you get serious and wonder, Lord, where do you want me to go now? You got to be praying now. Asking God to prepare a place for you. He's got a prepared place for prepared people. And get on your knees and walk with God and know, well, how can you get on your knees and walk with God? Think about that for a minute. Now, you know what I mean. Get on your knees, and some of you aren't awake right now, but get on your knees, talk to God, and then spend time with him. I promise you, he will be found. Think about that for a minute. He will be found. You'll call upon him. Let's all stand just for a moment. We're going to read Daniel chapter 3, 1 to 6. Daniel 3, 1 to 6. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, a whole lot of folks there, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald, notice that in verse 4, and herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time, what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. You know, it's been said that the most unlikely people often do the most extraordinary things. And I see that in the Lord's work. Moses, who murdered an Egyptian, Moses was not an eloquent man. He was slow of speech, yet God used him to deliver the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt. I think of a little boy who went to hear Jesus speak one day, and our Savior did not want to send the people away hungry. And the disciples didn't even have, weren't even close to having enough money to feed everyone. Yet Jesus used a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed the multitudes that followed him. I think about Saul, an educated man, but he was a persecutor of Christians. His life before conversion was characterized by threatenings and slaughter. Yet on the Damascus Road, everything changed. He went from Saul to Paul, and his life was never the same. God used an instrument like Paul to stir the world for Christ. And so we see what God does with people. We see examples in the Bible when it comes to who God uses. But what does he use in our lives to make us fit for his service? And that's a subject I'd like to preach on this morning. What God uses. And let's pray. Lord, thank you for the beautiful special that was just sung. And I pray that you'd bless all of our tour groups as they prepare to head out. And what a great job I know they're going to do. Lord, as long as they keep their eyes on you and keep our college, Lord, on fire and hot and fervent for you. And please help me, Holy Spirit. I really, really need your help today. And these students, we need to be stirred and we need to wake up and we need to understand what's at stake. And I pray, Lord, that you'd use these few moments that we have together, and may it transform our hearts and our lives and help us to be more fit for your service. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. The golden image, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. The golden image of Nebuchadnezzar was now situated in the plain of Dura. The day of dedication had arrived. Every important person in office was present. The musicians are in their place and waiting for their cue. The herald, known as an official messenger to proclaim that which the king had wanted him to proclaim, was in place. If you look at verse number 4, we find a herald. He cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages." And he gives all the names of the instruments, and for sake of time, he's saying that once those instruments begin to play, the king's proclamation would be this in verse 6, "And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." So you see, some things were at stake if you did not follow through with the king's command. Today it seems as if the devil has many heralds making public proclamation of his agenda. Pastor talks about how God uses music and media, money and materials, but the devil also uses those same things to get his message out. You see, the herald of music in our world today, and I know it's all over the place. I know at your jobs you hear it constantly. It's always playing. And the devil is using individuals known as artists to compose music that promotes and proclaims his vile agenda. The sinful crowd thinks nothing of what took place a couple Sundays ago at the Super Bowl. They think nothing of that. I want to say this, the sinful crowd is running rampant. Christians ought to be singing the songs of God and not of this world. The scripture tells us in Psalm 144 and verse 9, "I will sing a new song unto God upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee." I want to ask you a question, college student. What kind of song do you have in your heart? What kind of songs are you singing? What kind of songs are running through your mind each and every day? God help us as college students here, the hope and the future of America. God give us some young people who have a song in their heart, but a good song. I see the herald of music proclaiming the devil's agenda. I see the herald of the media. Our pastor has said it. The diet of our eyes will become the appetite of our hearts. We must look unto Jesus. But the devil uses media, social media, as its herald to promote an anti-God lifestyle. My question for you today is, who are you following? Who's following you? We become enamored with the people and the lifestyles of this world. And the scripture tells us in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." We see the herald of music, the herald of media. And then thirdly, I want to say we see the herald of money. The devil uses the love of money as a herald to lure God's people into thinking that money will bring more comfort and peace than the will of God. There may be somebody in this room today, and you're thinking, you know, after this school year's up, I'm dropping out. I'm going to make money. I don't think it's worth it. I don't think God's going to take care of me. Everyone on staff in this place right now can tell you, God will take care of you. Just trust Him. The love of money, the Scripture tells us, is the root of all evil. So what does God use in our lives to make us fit for His service? I want you to go to verse number 7. We see here, therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. It was testing time for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, everyone at the sound of the music fell down to worship this golden image. Three Jewish men chose not to do so. I want to say, in a culture where many are bowing down to the gods of this world, there's got to be some men and women in this room who will choose to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been said, a faith that can't be tested cannot be trusted. The program that you're in right now is not just a carefully planned out set of required classes to take and pass each semester, but it is a program of necessary challenges to reveal your willingness to walk in God's way. God will use times of testing to conform you into His image. I want you to notice a few times of testing that you'll have. You'll have testing time at work. You have testing time at work. I remember being the year I student taught, and I worked at a place, it's a restaurant, I think it's still out here, but there used to be one in Maryville called Old Country Buffet, and I worked as the cashier there. And man, I didn't have breakfast. I just went straight to Hammond Baptist and taught, and then after that whole day was up, I'd go to work, and of course I'd eat then, and eat everything I wanted to. But I went to work, and it was one night. I was closing down the line there and taking things back to the kitchen. And I noticed a bunch of guys, you know, messing around, talking trash, and they were flirting with the girls, but they were being very inappropriate. And I don't know how you feel, but when I see things like that, it starts at my feet, and it works its way up. And it's not a good thing, because I get pretty upset. And boy, they were just vile and filthy. And after going back there a time or two, I just had enough. I went to my boss that night. It was closing time. I said, "Hey, Mr. So-and-so, you know, we have a policy here. It talks about, you know, this, and this, harassment." And I said, "I just want you to know, you know, what's going on in the back room over there in where they're washing dishes." He said, "I appreciate, Jesse, you telling me that." He said, "Can you do me a favor and wait in the other room?" So, Brother Douglas, I go into the banquet room. No one's in there. I'm just waiting for the boss. I didn't know what he was going to do. You know what the boss does? I identified, by the way, the guy that was doing it all. So the boss, he brings the guy that I called out into the same room with me. I thought, man, this guy's gonna kill me. He was a buff guy, tattoos all over the place. He was sick. He was insane. And I thought, you know, this is not the way it's supposed to happen. I thought I was supposed to be anonymous in this situation. I'm not lying. The boss said to this guy, this big ugly guy, he said, "Jesse says you're doing this. I just want to know if that's true." I thought, boy, what a coward, man. This guy, he's throwing me into the den of lions. And the guy said, he's upset. When he heard that I called him out, he was upset. And, you know, we didn't necessarily have words, but he said, "You know, if that's the case, you know, you need to stop." And so that was it. He had never seen me finish up my work so fast. I grabbed my coat and I peeled out of that parking lot. I was not going to be around. I thought that guy was going to kill me. I really did. I thought that guy, he already knew me, and my name was Mud to him. That was on a Friday night. You know, I visited on Saturday. I ran the route on Sunday. But man, I was nervous the whole time, thinking, Monday, I got to go back to work. That guy's going to kill me. He's going to kill me at the Old Country Buffet, you know. And is that salad dressing? No, it's blood, you know. I mean, I was nervous. So I show up to work. I think that day I skipped lunch. I just wanted to get to work and hope that guy wouldn't come. No way. No. Lo and behold, out of the double doors in the kitchen, you know, like a cowboy movie, you know, and those double doors open up and that big guy comes out. And I'm not lying, Brother Douglas, this is a true story. I'm not just preaching, this is true. That was funny. But walk out, get myself situated, and that guy said, hey, I thought, oh, here it comes, here it comes. I've been thinking about this all weekend, he's gonna kill me. He said, hey, I said, yeah. He said, I didn't know. He said, I just wanted to say I'm sorry. He said, I didn't know you were a preacher. And, you know, my first thought was, oh, good. And, you know, we were great after that. You know, some of you guys have to stand. I don't think you need to be a jerk at your job. I don't think you need to be obstinate. But you need to stand for right. You know, you're going to be tested. You know, when you face those times of testing, you can run from it. I've noticed in teaching, and all the teachers could probably say the same thing, that there are certain students that they just don't show up on the day of a test, whether they're not prepared or they don't want to face it or what. But I want to tell you something. Let me park there. He said, stay there. Let me tell you something. When a test comes, it's not your time to run. You take that test. You go through it. You endure it. You have to stay in it. And there's testing time in everybody's life. And for you, it's testing time at work. It's testing time in the dorms. Can't get along with your roommate. Guess what? You're going to struggle with your mate too. And learn how to get along. Learn to work through those things. There are times when the language isn't what it ought to be, or the behavior isn't what it ought to be, and there's testing time. It's time for you to show God, listen, I know how to live right, and I know how to do right, I know how to stand up. It's testing time with your finances. Will you trust God with the tithe, even though you still have to pay a school bill? Say, is it my tithe or is it my school bill? Put your tithe first, put the Lord first. Because if you will fail in this test, it'll be even more challenging when you get out into the ministry. You will continue to weigh, what should I pay? Should I pay this, or should I pay that, or should I pay the Lord? What does God use in the life of his children? He uses times of testing. Testing time in your ministry. You know, will you fall into the mediocrity of others? I know it's cold out. I know the sun's not always out. I know it gets difficult, and I know the days are long. I want to tell you something. You give your best. You give your best in your ministry. You give your best in your all. Love those kids, and love that route, and love that area, and pray for that area, and give your best in your all for Christ. Because there's going to be days in your ministry where they're not going to be clapping for you. Hey, there's our bus captain. You'll walk in, and they'll say, where you been? We've got this problem. We've got that problem. And listen, you can't live by the applause of man. It's testing time. Testing time in your studies. Will you stay on track with your course requirements? Will you fight against laziness? Will you attend every class, even when you don't feel like it? It's testing time. How about this in your dating life? Will you seek to maintain good standards in your dating life, on and off campus? John Wooden, used to coach UCLA, said the true test of a man's character is what he does when no one is watching. What does God use? He uses times of testing. We see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were tested. They knew that they were not going to find the favor and the blessings of God if they bowed down to that golden image, and they chose to stand. Let's look at verse 8 through 12 real quick. What does God use? He uses times of testing. Let's look at the next one. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans, verse 8, came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said unto the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Notice this, verse 12. There are certain Jews, come the tattletales. Here come certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood out in the crowd. While others bowed, they stood. let it be said amongst our Hiles Anderson students that you chose to live above reproach. What's the second thing? God uses, number one, he uses times of testing. Number two, he uses a testimony. A testimony. Titus tells us in chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, but in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Let me challenge you this morning, college student. I know you're tired and you need to work through that, but let me say this. You need to have a testimony that shines through adversity. No doubt there are some in this room. You didn't choose the path that you're on today. It wasn't of your choosing that you lost a mother or a father, a brother or a sister. It wasn't your choosing that someone in your family got sick. It wasn't your choosing that maybe a mom or dad are not saved and you're here all by yourself. The home situation is not good and you've had to go through difficulty. Maybe you've had to endure some physical challenges. Let me encourage you to keep on living for Christ. Your testimony will be used of God not only to encourage others, but to reach others that no one else can. You can sit here and you can pout and you can say, I wish my life were better. I wish it were like so-and-so's. But I want to tell you something. God has placed you in a unique position. And you just trust God. And you just ask God to help you work through that. And you will be a testimony that will shine through adversity. Let me also say this. To have a testimony that's sincere in all times. What do you mean by that? Well, what could be said of you in regard to your treatment of some of these newer and younger college students? What kind of testimony are you to the bus kids? If any of them asked us on the faculty and staff how you acted on campus, would you be concerned at all? By the way, if the Lord tarries in his coming, there may come a day when someone younger could be your boss. I remember, and he was a great kid, and he's a great young man today. I remember having Jack Mitchell. In some way, all of us on staff have to answer to Brother Mitchell. I remember when that young man was in my junior high class when I student taught for Mr. Mooney. And it just seems like yesterday, but that just illustrates that simple point. Someone who's younger than you could be your boss someday. Brother John Francis one afternoon said this in a teacher's orientation. Those of you who have been in my class, you'll remember this statement. He said, they grow up and they remember. I want to tell you something. There may be a pulpit committee that will meet to see if you are the next pastor of their church. And it could be that a member of that pulpit committee was a parent of one of the college students here that you mistreated. You never know what God can do with the testimony. It could either make you or break you. God uses a testimony. What kind of testimony, college student, do you have today? I mean, are you the real deal? Are you on fire for God at work? Are you walking in a straight path? Or are you on the edge? That's a question for everyone to examine in their life. What kind of a testimony am I? Only you know who you really are. I mean, yes, the Lord knows that for sure. Only you. Think about that for a minute. He uses a testimony. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had a testimony for all to see. And let me say this. Yours will be known in time. And let it be for right. I need to go quick. Third, let's look at verse 13. We see that the music had played. Everyone else bowed down but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now Nebuchadnezzar comes to them in verse 13. Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands. I find here that Nebuchadnezzar seems to give them another chance, even though he's enraged. It gives him an opportunity. But I want you to notice these words from these men. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in verse 16 answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." Brother Judah preached this over the summer, these three words in verse 18. "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we," notice this, "will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." This third and last thought, what does God use? He uses times of testing. He uses a testimony. But third, I want you to catch this. He uses tenacity. Tenacity is determined as the determination to continue what you are doing. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were going to follow God no matter what the cost. I want you to look at the end of verse 17 again. "And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." And then in verse 18, "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Many of us in this room today, we've had those moments where we've lost our fight and we've lost our tenacity. I want to challenge you to get your fight back. I want to challenge you to get back in the game. And some of you have let go. You've gotten tired. You've gotten weary. You've gotten discouraged. Don't lose your tenacity. You're going to need that when you get out in the ministry. You're going to need to fight at times. You're going to need to struggle at times. You're going to be challenged. It'll be difficult at times. I can't lie to you. Don't lose your tenacity. Have you lost it? If so, realize there's a lost world that needs you to stay in it. Remember who called you. And remember what he called you to. Nehemiah tells us in chapter 6 and verse 3, "And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you?" It's been said there are no failures in life, only those who quit before success. Failure is a part of learning. The formula for success is trying until you succeed. If you give up during the struggle, you will never experience the victory. You may not be well known in this place, and at times you may even feel inadequate. You may feel inferior to the most popular person on campus. But if you'll hang on, and you'll walk with God each day, if you'll give it your all in your ministry, if you'll keep yourself pure, stay patient in His will, The very God of heaven will lift you up in due time. But just stay in it. What does God use? He uses times of testing. Have you been tested? Has it seemed as though God is not there in these times of testing? I probably won't say it quite right, but during the examination, the teacher is always silent. You're tested right now. You're wondering, where's God at in this endeavor? I love that quote that Brother Daryl Cox gave one time. He said, "You can't always trace God. You can't always trace God, but you can always trust God." He uses times of testing. Don't be afraid. When testing time comes, take the test. Take it. Keep going forward. He uses a testimony. I want to challenge you. What kind of testimony are you? Here, at work, on the route? God will use that if you'll do the right thing. And he uses tenacity. And I close with this thought. I mean it. I remember sitting in college. I oftentimes would sit over here on this side. And I'd be so blown away every time Brother Hiles would come to that door. There's a little crack underneath that door. And I remember seeing the feet of the men on staff who were going to come onto the platform. I get so excited when I saw them, a new preacher was coming. And I'd stand there in awe, clapping after he'd finished preaching, thinking, man, I'd love to do like something like that someday. those years have come, and those opportunities have come, and they'll be there for you too. But he uses testing. He uses those times of testing. He uses a testimony, and he uses tenacity. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I just want to ask you a simple question. Have you lost your fight?